And you know what? After studying this weekend, I am so glad. It challenges me, but I like this. This is good stuff. He doesn't want us to have the kind of faith that just kind of steps out and then gets all freaked out and begins to sink. He wants you and I to have the kind of faith that stays on top of the waves, that continues to walk and take step by step by step by step towards Christ until we are there in His embrace with Him, walking with Him on top of that storm. He has not called us to be sunk in the waves, in the water, and to drown in the depths of that thing. He has called us and empowered us and invites us to walk on top of those waves, no matter how tempestuous or frightening they may be. Do you believe that? It's a stretch for me that Jesus would say, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But He wasn't beating up on him. He wanted Peter to catch a vision of something that's possible for him that he had never even dreamed or dared to imagine. He wanted to impart to Peter a sense of bigness and muchness that Peter was not yet walking in, but that Jesus wanted him to walk in. He wants you and me and us to catch that same vision, that same perception of the muchness of God, because He wants you and I to walk on the waves of the storms of life. That's what He has called us to. That is our inheritance in Christ. And it's becoming real in my heart. So please forgive me if I get a little passionate about this. But since I've been able to lay a hold of this, green as I am stirred inside. I want to walk on some water. No, I'm not asking for a storm, but Jesus didn't say if the storm comes. He says when the storm comes. So when that thing hits here, I want to be walking on top of the thing. I don't want to be stuck in the boat of my self-effort and futility and frustration. And I don't want to be taking a little step and then falling down below the waves. I want to keep on walking with Jesus, because that's where my inheritance is, on top of the waves. Praise God. And that kind of understanding only comes by revelation. Your natural mind can't lay a hold of that. I'll tell you right now. You know why it freaks us out so much? Because it ought to freak us out. It's beyond us. Our mind can't wrap itself around that. It only comes by revelation from God, as He imparts that to our hearts, so it becomes a seed of reality, to where our mind suddenly opens up and says, "Wow, yeah, I can lay a hold of that. I can believe that. I can have faith from that." And so if I could make one more point, it's this. Number four, Jesus wants us to understand the greatness. Everybody say the greatness. The greatness of God's power. He really does. I'm not just up here preaching. I'm not just up here trying to do a decent job on a Bible study. So people will say, "Well, yeah, that was a good exegesis, John. Kudos. He really wants us to get this. I'll prove it to you. The Apostle Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus, and he prayed that God would do three things for them. Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. He says that he prayed for them that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and what? Yeah, see, God's got to give that to you. That's why he was praying for that. We ought to pray that for each other. When you have devotions, pray for each other. Lord, I pray God would give Karen a spirit of revelation and the knowledge of him. My wife's already got it. She needs to impart that to me. Pray for me. He reveals stuff to her. You know, he gives me the authority. He gives her the wisdom. It's a good combination. You know, go figure. Amazes me how much wisdom he sends through my wife. That's why he gave me two ears and one mouth. Anyway, Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding, see those eyes? Eyes of your spirit? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that you may, number one, know what is the hope of His calling. I could preach a whole message on this. Number two, so that you may know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And number three, so that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. I can't put it any plainer. The Lord wants you to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards you. He wants you to know that. And He doesn't want you to just know it as a theological fact so you can pass a test in seminary class. He wants you to experience that as a living, breathing experience of your life. That's how He wants you to know that. He wants that to become a reality to you. Wow. He wants us to think big. Say, think big. Okay, now say it like you mean it. Think big. I'm not talking about presumption. I'm not talking about being worldly and just asking God for big worldly stuff. I'm saying think big in terms of who your God is. Think of a God who was so big that He busts out of the box of your life and overflows the banks. Think big in terms of the exceeding greatness of His power towards you. Think big in your thoughts and perceptions of who God is and how He wants to manifest who He is in your life. He wants to do that. He doesn't want to be a fact for you to memorize. He wants to be a reality that you experience. And that's how big He wants you to think. It amazes me. You know, Jesus never generally rebuked anyone for thinking too big about God. He never did. He never rebuked anybody for expecting too much from God. You don't see Him going around saying, well, you know, I don't know, yeah, that's asking a little bit much. You might want to come down to reality, buddy. You don't see Him doing that. But you do see Him over and over and over and over rebuking people for not thinking enough about God, for thinking of Him in a too small of a way, for limiting Him instead of giving Him the freedom to do and be the God He wants to be. You don't see Jesus rebuking anybody saying, you've got too much faith. You're just out of balance. You got too much faith. But how many times have you heard Him say, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why are you afraid? Why did you limit God? Why don't you believe? Why don't you trust? Why don't you step out and lay a hold of the muchness of God and the greatness of His power? It comes by revelation. It comes by a work of grace in our souls that allows us to grasp the possibility that God really wants to demonstrate His power. It amazes me, Mary Lou Fletcher, that you brought a little sheet of paper in today. Do you still have the sheet of paper with you? Where is that bad boy? She didn't know what I was preaching on today. What did we sing this morning? Demonstrate your power. Demonstration. He wants us to know this by demonstration, not simply explanation. I was sitting here, I'll get to this. I was reading a book by John Wimber the other day, and it was so good, and I wanted to read the next chapter, and God says, haven't you read enough? Don't you just want to like do this now? You've been reading all night. Put the book away. Let's do something. Demonstration, a pointing out, a showing or demonstrating. by argument, a showing forth or display of by the operation of the Spirit of God affecting the hearts and lives of hearers. In contrast to the methods of proof by rhetorical arts and philosophical arguments. I can't even say that. My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So, when we find ourselves spent and beat up and hurting, and we have been rowing all night long, and we have no self-effort left because our arms have given out, Christ comes to us in the fourth watch and He wants us to know these four things. Number one, Jesus sees us in our situation. Number two, because He sees us, Jesus comes to us. Even if it's in a way we're not expecting. Number three, He not only comes to us, He invites us to come with Him. And walk by faith in a way that maybe we've never walked before. Because, number four, Jesus wants us to understand by experience the exceeding greatness of God's power towards us. Do we dare to believe that? Oh, yeah. And we don't have to run for that. All we have to do is be still and rest in our daddy's arms and receive it by faith and let God show us His muchness. We've had enough of our own muchness. We're done with our muchness. I just want to lay in my daddy's arms and experience His greatness and allow Him to put me back together and feed my soul and refresh my spirit and put me back together and make me whole again. Amen. That's why we come to worship. It's where we just hold forth our hands to our daddy and say, Daddy, pick me up and let me feel Your heart against mine. Pick me up and hold me in Your arms and let me feel Your strength. And fill me with that strength. Let me smell the fragrance of my Father, the fragrance of Christ on you, and let me just be covered in that fragrance. And let me feel Your strong arms holding me and imparting to me a reality of who You are and the muchness of Your power towards me. You are my Father. You're my Daddy. Amen.